clothing by the mission on Udalidom Abiz. Mishnah says, Konum Shani Yoshin, if somebody says a Konum, which as we've had before is the usual, is one of the usual Lashonis of a Neder, it's the equivalent of Korban, Shani Yoshin, if I will sleep, which basically means he's saying sleep is also to me, Shani Medaber, or that I will speak, Shani Mahalach, or that I'll go, that I'll walk, or Ha'omer Le'isha Konum She'eni Meshamshech, or he says to his wife, a Konum, that I won't have relations with you, all those Hareza B'lo Yachal Dvarai. So all those, there's an issue involved of Lo Yachal Dvarai, that the Pasuk says that you're not supposed to, that you're not allowed to, that you're not allowed to violate the terms of your neder. What exactly the situations we're talking about, that the Gemara will deal with at some length. That'll basically drive the Gemara over here, what exactly the Mishnah means over here. But just to finish off, actually, the printers put the beginning of the next part of the Mishnah as the beginning of the next Mishnah on Tosvav Amud Beis. Let's flip ahead there, though, and learn the first line of the next Mishnah together with this one, because it'll set up a contrast in this regard between Nedarim and Shavuot. On Tosvav Amud Beis, the next Mishnah begins, Shavua She'eni Yoshin, She'eni Medaber, She'eni Mahalach. If someone says instead of a neder, that sleep or what have you, or speech or whatever is also to me, if instead he makes a shavua that I won't sleep or that I won't sleep or that I won't speak or that I won't walk, then also. So there's two differences we notice. One is our Mishnah on Yudalad Amud Beis had said Shani Medaber, Shani Mahala, Shani Yoshin, Shani Medaber in the positive. And actually, the Ran points out it has to be that way because you can't make a neder that I won't do such and such. A neder is chal, a neder goes on the chesta, not on the gavra. So therefore, and the Gemara will discuss even, can a neder be chal on something intangible like sleep or speech or what have you? For the moment, let's set that aside. We'll deal with that in the Gemara. But anyway, a neder certainly can't be that I won't eat or that I won't sleep or whatever. Let me rephrase that. A neder can be on those, but you can't phrase the neder by saying my not sleeping should be also by a koinah. Even if we argue sleeping is something that a neder can be chal on, and we'll talk about that in the Gemara, it certainly can't be chal on not sleeping, because at least sleeping you could argue it's an intangible thing, but it's still a shame dover, it's a something. Not sleeping, what would it mean? It would be like what we had previously when we had the cases where someone says that what I won't eat from you is a konum, what I will eat from you is a konum, etc. The food is a shame dover, it's a something. The not food is nothing. Same. So therefore, in our Mishnah, we have to say that it's Shani Yoshin. The fact that I would sleep, the sleep that I would be doing, is also to me as a konum. Or the same thing with the other.
Not sleeping doesn't mean anything.
Not sleeping wouldn't mean anything. As opposed to a shavua goes on the gavra. Therefore, by the shavua, it can very well be she'eni. A shavua that I won't sleep or that I won't eat or whatever. That's one difference. The other difference we notice is that by the neder over here, the expression is hareze b'lo yachal dvarai, that there's an issue of lo yachal dvarai. The pasuk says he's not allowed to violate his word. Whereas by the shavua, it says outright osur. So what's the difference? That also, as we go through the Gemara, we'll see what the logic for that distinction is.
When he says, no sleep, it still goes on him.
That's the thing. A shavua goes on him. A shavua is saying, I am also to sleep.
And a neder?
A neder is, sleep is also to me.
And sleep is considered chesed.
That's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara. That's the question. Is it that way, or is it that he would have to say, my eyes, which are chesed, are also to sleep? That's what we're going to discuss. Yeah. Okay. So Gemara says a discussion that is going to end up that we're going to end up relating to this Mishnah. Itmar. That discussion like this. If someone says Konam eni b'shena hayom im ishan lamachar. If someone says like this, he makes a neder, but he makes it al tanai. My eyes will be also by Konam to sleep today if I sleep tomorrow. So what would that mean, in other words, that at the time, so today, when at the end of today, we don't know whether his neder was yet chal. It depends what happens the next day. If he sleeps the next day, then retroactively any sleeping that he did today was in violation of the neder.
Neder was not to
The neder was that that I'll be also to sleep on Sunday if I sleep on Monday. So if he winds up sleeping on, if he slept any time on Sunday, that itself is not an issur yet on the face of it. It'll depend what happens on Monday. If on Monday he winds up sleeping, then retroactively on Sunday he was over on his neder. If he winds up not sleeping at all on Monday, then he wasn't over on his neder.
But at the time he slept, he wasn't over.
That's what we're doing. That's the point. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Al Yishan Hayoim. In that case, he should not sleep on Sunday. Shema Yishan Lamocha, because he might end up in the end sleeping on Monday retroactively. Then his sleeping on Sunday will have been a violation of the neder.
But if he said, "I'm not sleeping on both days."
But that, no, if he actually said, "I'm not sleeping on both days," then there's no question. Of course, if he sleeps on either one of them. Like this, if he sleeps on Sunday but doesn't sleep on Monday, then he wasn't over on his neder. The neder was only, "I'm also to sleep on Sunday if I sleep on Monday." So if he doesn't sleep on Monday, then there was no issur. But Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, is saying that in fact he should not sleep on Sunday because he might end up sleeping on Monday.
He might make a mistake.
He might be careless.
More likely that he's going to sleep on Monday if he doesn't sleep on Monday.
Okay, come on. So we don't have to be talking about 2 days back to back. It could be the same kind of thing that I won't. That I'm also to sleep this Sunday if I sleep next Sunday. Whatever. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Nachman says, no. Yishan hayoyim, gizun tehet, let him sleep on Sunday. We're not worried that he's going to end up sleeping on Monday. As long as Sunday, the sleeping on Sunday in and of itself is not an Easter, because it only becomes an Easter if he sleeps on Monday. Good, so let him sleep, gizun tehet, on Sunday, and he'll just have to be careful on Monday. How is he going to be careful? So the Gemara in Gittin explains, Tosfos quotes it over here. What he can do is he can make sure to keep himself up all Monday by pricking himself with needles or with thorns or whatever. Anytime he feels on Monday he's falling asleep, stick himself a little bit and he'll keep himself up. I guess. V'nedarim halacha halashim bnei adam is a great rule that we're going to have later on, and that we're going to have extensively in the Masechta, that with nedarim you define things the way the average person would define them. The Pashtos, I guess, the average person would define hayoyim as during the daytime. Whatever, we'll get to that later on. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if it was the other way around, if the Tnai applies today and the actual Koinam, the day of the Isser, is tomorrow, so he says that I'll be also to sleep on Monday if I sleep on Sunday, well then good, Shayoshin Hayoim, there's no problem, then he can sleep on Sunday. The Sunday being the day of the Tnai, he can sleep on Sunday, because Pilum is Dahar B'Tzna, because what are we saying, what is Rabbi Yehuda saying he might not be careful with, is the Tnai. Like this, when the Issur is on Sunday, the Tnai is on Monday, we're afraid that having slept on Sunday, he may be careless with the Tnai on Monday. Look, it's only the day of the Tnai, it's not the day I actually made a neder on. Therefore, he might get careless and sleep and be over on his, and be over retroactively on his neder. Here, where it's the other way around, where he's saying the koinam, the issur applies to Monday and the Tnai applies to Sunday. So fine, he can sleep on Sunday, it's only the day of the Tanai. Having slept on Sunday, and therefore knowing that now his neder is in effect, he will be careful on Monday to not be over on the actual day of the Issur itself.
According to Rabbi Yehuda?
Even Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Nachman would certainly say that, because Rabbi Nachman had said even in the first case it's not a problem. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that in the second case it's fine. Now, how does that relate to our Mishnah? Tanan. So let's consider. Our Mishnah says, Koinam Shani Yoshin. If somebody says a Koinam, a Loshin Neder, my sleeping, in other words, he's saying that my sleep is also as a Koinam, Shani Mahalach, or that I walk, Shani Medaber, or that I talk, Vacholo, then he said, it counts. It's Lo Yachal Dvarai. So what does that mean exactly? We have to figure out what kind of Neder was he making? Ilay Mekidikatoni, does it just mean at face value that he said a neder that he said a neder, for example, that sleep is also to me? The problem with that is me have a nidra. Does that even count as a neder? V'hatanan, we learned, or Tanya actually, we learned in a braisa, we had it before. Chomer b'shvuris, there's a stringency in shvuris over nedarim. A shvur can apply equally well to something tangible and something intangible, because again, a shvur goes on the davra. A shvur is I am committing myself, or I am offering myself to do X. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether it's something tangible like eat this loaf of bread, or something intangible like sleep. Mashenkin v'nedarim, as opposed to nedarim, don't work that way. Nedarim have to apply to something tangible. Sleep is not something tangible.
Well,
at least one. Dover Shane Bay Mamashu. Sleep is something intangible. So if a person were to just say at face value what it says in the mission of Konim Shani Yoshin, it wouldn't be a valid neder. Whether it might be valid Dirabban on that we'll get to later. But for the moment we're assuming it's not a valid neder at all. Ella, so no, let's try. So first of all, we have to explain that the Mishnah is not giving us the exact lashon that the guy used. It's kind of paraphrasing. But really, he would have to say, how would it be a valid neder if he says, my eye is also by a koinam from sleeping. His eye is a tangible thing. It's a real existing thing. So therefore, the neder can be chal on it. Fine. So far, so good. But the ilo yohib shiura. But now we have the next problem. The Mishnah didn't say anything about a time frame. So if he didn't give a time frame, if he just said, for example, a koinam that my eye is also from sleeping, well then the ilo yohib shiura. So if he didn't give a time frame, mishav kinin layad da'over iso bayachol, b'chlal, would we let things slide until he winds up eventually? A person has to sleep. So eventually he's going to end up being over on bal yachol dvore, on violating his word. And in that case, such a thing is not even chal in the first place. Well, Amar Yechanan, shvur shleishan shloisha yomim. If somebody says a shvur that I won't sleep for 3 days, and 3 days, it's impossible for a person to go 3 full days without sleeping. Malkino, it's the yoshan altar. What you do is you don't say you should have to wait up until he can't control himself anymore and starts falling asleep, and then at that point we say he's over on a shvura and you give him malchus. No, give him malchus to begin with because he made a shvura on an impossible thing. It's the equivalent to Schwartz job. It's the equivalent of making a shvura that this table was made out of silver, let's say, which is a Schwartz job. It's a blatantly false shvura. The yoshan altar, and then after that, if he wants to sleep right away, give him the haste. He can. His shvur was never a valid shvur in the first place.
I'm not sure if he will.
Yeah, okay, fine, but it's the principle of the point. And maybe on the contrary, maybe he'd rather at that point take a few aspirin and then that could take a long nap, you know. The point is, though, actually, so the Rabban points out there's a slight difference. There's a difference between a neder and a shvur. When a person makes a shvur, the Ram says, there is a concept of shvur shav, and shvur sheker. There is a concept of a person makes a shvur that's false or unnecessary, then you get malchus for it. So either, for example, he swears on something which is not obvious, whether it's true or false, and he swears on it and then it's the other way around, or he swears I will do something and he ends up not doing it, it's called a shvur bitui. Or vice versa, or he swears on something which is so blatantly obvious that everybody knows it. He swears this is a bottle of seltzer, for example. All those things are considered shvuah shav or shvuah sheker. Such a thing exists, and that's what we're saying, that in that case, if he makes such a shvuah, you give him malchus right away. A neder, the Ram says, actually, there's no such thing as a neder shav. There's no such thing as saying that you're also to make a false neder. Once you make it, because a neder goes on the chesed, right? Once you make a neder, you're obligated to keep it. But there's no such thing as a neder shav. The Ram says that. Right. But what we're saying. No. So what we're saying, that's the thing. So what we're saying is, what the Ram is saying like this. If you make such a neder, it's going to be impossible. Eventually your eyes are going to close and you're going to fall asleep. Therefore, that's considered a neder shav. But there's no such thing as a neder shav, meaning the neder is never chal in the first place. Now, not everybody agrees with the Ran on that. In fact, there is a Tosfos in Gittin, and in connection with a discussion over there in the Gemara about nedarim and shvuot, where Tosfos wants to say that there isn't issur d'rabbanan, at least, of making a neder shav. But okay, so far here we're dealing with d'oraisa. Anyway, the point is, if by a shvur that I won't sleep for 3 days, we're saying the shvur is a shvur shav, and therefore you give him malchus right away, then when it comes to a neder, it's a neder shav, and the neder is not chal in the first place. So therefore, so when the Gemara uses the expression over here that Mishab Kinin Layad Over Isur Bayachol, it's not saying do we leave him alone. Really, what it means is that expression would be more appropriate when we're talking about a shvur. A shvur, it's more relevant to say that you don't leave him. You don't say, well, you know, make him stay up until he can't hold himself back anymore, and at that point you give him malchus. With neder, it's not really relevant to say that. The point is, the Gemara is trying to make the point that the neder is not chal. So far we have, if the person says koinam shani yoshein, nothing happens. If the person says koinam eini v'sheina, also nothing happens, each one for a different reason. Koinam shani yoshein, because sleep is intangible. Koinam eini v'sheina, because it's impossible to go the rest of his life without sleeping. Now, one more thing the Gemara doesn't mention is it's obvious that it's not talking about that he's just saying, for example, koinam eini v'sheina, let's say for one day, because then there's no chiddush. Of course, it's lo yachol d'varei. That's the basic definition of a neder. So why would the Mishnah have to be telling us it? Ella d'ama koinam eini b'sheini l'machayim ishen hayon. Evidently, the Mishnah must be talking about a case like we talked about at the beginning of the sugya, that he says that my eyes will be also to sleep tomorrow if I sleep today. And that still doesn't work. Ha'amret kol b'isuri mizahar. Because then you say already that. Fine, he can sleep. That was the case where we said even Rabbi Huda agrees that there's no issue with that. He can sleep today. He'll just have to be careful not to sleep tomorrow. So again, it's a partial thing. The Mishnah didn't have to mention it. So evidently, what are we left with? What would the chiddush of the Mishnah have to be? The case where he said that my eyes are also to sleep today if I sleep tomorrow. And what is the Mishnah telling us? Now, one more thing. Now, if he doesn't sleep today, if he doesn't sleep on the day of, if he doesn't sleep on Sunday, in the case where he said, I'm also to sleep today if I end up sleeping tomorrow, so if he doesn't end up sleeping on Sunday, then when he sleeps on Monday, there's no bal yachol d'varei. He never slept on Sunday. Obviously, it must be talking about where he did sleep on Sunday. Because that's the only way that the Mishnah could be. That's the only way that we're left with that the Mishnah could be having to tell us something. All the other cases is either the neder is not chal, or it's so blatantly obvious that because it's impossible, or because it's not a sustainable thing, or whatever. All we're left with is a case where the Mishnah is telling us that there is a case where you're going to be over on Baal Yachol Dvarei. Alma Isay Denayim, which goes to show, therefore, that you are allowed to sleep on Sunday. So again, the case was, he said, that I'm also to sleep today on Sunday if I sleep tomorrow. So we allow, not what Rabbi Huda is saying, it seems the Mishnah is saying, he can sleep today on Sunday, he just has to be careful not to sleep on Monday. And if he does sleep on Monday, he'll be over on Baal Yachol Dvarei. But he's allowed to sleep on Sunday. It's Yom Tov Rabbi Huda. So then the Mishnah is contradicting Rabbi Huda. Now the Ram talks about like this. We said before that he'll be careful if it's the other way around. If he said that the Isser is tomorrow, the Tanai is today, then we say he can go ahead and sleep today and we're not worried because he'll be careful about the Isser. Isn't that maybe what the Mishnah is trying to tell us? Maybe the Mishnah is indeed talking about that case. So the Ram says like this. The fact is Rabbi Huda agrees in that case. So it's a very partial thing. If both Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Huda agree to it, it's a very partial thing. The Mishnah wouldn't have had a reason to mention that. The very fact that if we were to say the Mishnah is skipping over that case and instead telling us the case where Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Nachman do argue and implying that you're able to, what would the Mishnah be implying therefore if we said it did mean that way? It would mean that he's only careful in the Easter, he's not careful on it tonight. Which would be what Rabbi Huda is saying, but it's not so posh. The Mishnah should have had to tell us that. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't tell us that seems to be because it doesn't hold of that. Why wouldn't it hold of that? Because it disagrees with Rabbi Huda. There's your refutation of Rabbi Huda. Yeah, but the point is, the fact that both of them hold that way is because... No, but it's still very poshut. The Mishnah wouldn't have told us the more poshut a case and not told us about something which is going to end up having to be a machlokas amiroyim because it's unclear. The Mishnah itself should have been clear enough to tell us that given that you have these two possible scenarios, the Mishnah itself should have told us about the less clear scenario, the one where there's more reason to argue. If we have the point is that Rav Nachman is saying the person is going to be careful both on the issu and on the tnai, and Rav Yehuda is arguing no, he might be careful about the day of the issu, he's not going to be careful about the day of the tnai, then the Mishnah shouldn't. If the Mishnah was going to tell us that you're allowed to sleep on the day of the issur, and we're not worried that the next day you're going to be careless with the tnai, that would have been the bigger chiddush for the Mishnah to tell us. The fact that it doesn't seems to imply that it doesn't hold that way.
How do we know it doesn't?
Because that's what we have. Once we eliminated all the other possibilities, this is the only thing we're left with. The answer is no. Kikotani de'inayim. No, the Mishnah could mean that. On the contrary, the Mishnah is telling us what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. That when the Mishnah says hareza b'lo yachol dvarei, means you have to be careful not to sleep on the first day, not to sleep on the day that could potentially end up being an Easter, because later on you might be careless with your tonight. So hareza b'lo yachol dvarei wouldn't mean like we thought it meant that he is over on b'al yachol dvarei. What it means is there's a potential for b'al yachol dvarei over here. If he winds up sleeping on Sunday, if he winds up sleeping on Monday as well, he may wind up being over on b'al yachol dvarei. So the Mishnah would effectively be telling us exactly what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Be careful if you say konim shani yoshin in the scenario that we just outlined. Be careful you don't bring yourself to a case of b'al yachol dvarei by sleeping on the first day.
In other words, if you trivialize one, you're going to trivialize the other.
No. Not a matter of trivializing. The first day is an issur, but it's a pending issur. It depends what he does on Monday. Rabbi Yehuda is that's the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Rabbi Yehuda is arguing once he slept on Sunday, we're concerned that he may be careless with Monday is only a day of its night. It's not the day I ever offered myself in the first place. Hello, and therefore he might end up sleeping on Monday and then he's been over. Rav Nachman is not concerned about that. Now we're saying the Mishnah may very well be telling us, Rav Yehuda's point. Make sure you don't bring yourself to a situation where you're going to have b'al yachol dvarei.
Even though there's no issu
yet on Sunday, because the issu only takes place, the issu only comes into effect if you sleep on Monday. But be careful you don't even put yourself in a position where when the tanai is chal, you will have been over.
The reason being?
Because you don't want to be over on by Yaakov.
I understand.
Yeah.
Why would you think that by not sleeping, you would not be over?
No, it's not a matter of... Well, because that's what Rav Nachman was arguing. One second, because that's what Rav Nachman was arguing. Rav Nachman was arguing you can sleep with Lutta Hate on Sunday, you just have to be careful on Monday. Make sure you keep on pricking yourself with those needles. Rav Yehuda is saying not.
Why, Rabbi Yehuda, think that by not sleeping on Monday, there's less likelihood to sleep on Sunday, there's less likelihood to sleep on Monday.
Not less likelihood. Once he slept, no, on the contrary, Rabbi Yehuda is saying if he sleeps on Sunday, then now when he sleeps on Monday, he will have been over on b'al yachol, because that was the deal. If I sleep, my sleeping is also on Sunday, or my eyes are also to sleep on Sunday,
right,
if I sleep on Monday.
Right.
So therefore, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, instead, what's going to happen if you sleep on Sunday? Then you're going to have to be careful all Monday not to fall asleep. And if you do end up falling asleep, you're going to be over. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no, regardless of your tanai, don't sleep on Sunday. Pretend as though you just said, I'm also to sleep on Sunday, period.
If you don't sleep on Sunday, then
there's nothing to talk about. If you didn't end up sleeping on Sunday, then good. There's no, whatever happens on Monday can't retroactively affect Sunday. You didn't sleep on Sunday, therefore you weren't over on your neder. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying you should do. You should not sleep on Sunday. That way, regardless of whether you sleep or don't sleep on Monday, you haven't been over on your neder. And according to him, that we would explain that's exactly what the Mishnah is teaching us. Rav Nachman is saying it's okay. You can sleep on Sunday. Sunday itself is not usur.
It's not usur.
So that's the thing. Rav Yehuda is telling you you shouldn't. And Nachman is telling you, you can feel free to. That's all.
But at the end,
no, ultimately, of course, ultimately, both of them agree to the underlying thing. Of course, is still the same for both of them. It's true. If you slept on Sunday and you wind up sleeping on Monday, you will be over. There's no question about that. Rav Nachman is not concerned. He's saying once you slept on Sunday, therefore you know your neder is in effect. You're going to be careful on Monday not to sleep. Whereas Rav Yehuda doesn't believe in that.
Rav Yehuda wants to be certain.
Yes,
you will not sleep.
Yes. That's answer number one to understand what our Mishnah is saying. So again, according to this, when the Mishnah is saying Hareza b'lo yachol tvor, it doesn't mean that at this point, having slept on Sunday, he is already over on bal yachol. It just means now there's a potential. If he winds up sleeping on Monday, he will be over on bal yachol. But at this point, when Sunday is over, nothing happened yet. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying you shouldn't sleep on Sunday in order to avoid that possibility. But the fact is, if he did sleep on Sunday, he hasn't yet been over on anything. There's just the potential. Rabbina gives a different answer. Olam kitchatoni. No, we could say that we take the Mishnah at face value. It means plain and simple that he says my eyes are also to my not my eyes are also. Sleep is also to me for X amount of time. So then what's the chiddush? Umay bal yachol midrabanan. What do we mean when the Mishnah says that he's over on bal yachol if he ends up sleeping? Midrabanan. Yes, midaraisa neder could only be chal on something tangible. But now we're talking d'rabbanan. D'rabbanan, yes, a neder can be chal on something intangible too, like sleep or speech or what have you.
Intangible, I would agree, but something impossible.
Impossible. No. So according to Rav Yehuda, we're not talking about that he said, he's not going to say, I'm never going to sleep. He said, I'm not going to sleep for the next 2 days, let's say, or whatever. Now, 2 days is possible. Yeah, one or two days, whatever is possible. 3 days is possible. Yeah, one or two days is possible. So if he makes a neder, sleep is also to me. So again, if he says, I am also to sleep, that's a shvul. We're not dealing with that right now. Before we get too deep into Ravina, just to mention, I mentioned before that the other difference we had between our Mishnah and the beginning of the next Mishnah that we learned before, here we're talking about Nadar, and the next one talks about Shavuot, is here we said Hareza b'lo yachol dvarei, the next Mishnah said Osir. What's the difference? So according to the explanation, according to Rabbi Yehuda that we had, it works out very nicely. In our Mishnah, it's Hareza b'lo yachol dvarei, because at this point, when he slept on Sunday, before Monday had started, he hasn't yet been over on anything. Just he shouldn't sleep on Sunday in order not to come to the possibility of b'lo yachol dvarei. Whereas with Shavuot, you don't need any of that folder roll or anything. With Shavuot, plain and simple, he said, I'm making myself osur. I'm swearing that I will not sleep on Sunday. Well, finished, he's osur to sleep on Sunday. There's no two ways about it. That's why the Mishnah would use the difference, lo hareza b'lo yachol dvarei, meaning there's a potential of b'yachol dvarei, versus osur, meaning outright, he's osur to sleep. Okay, now with Ravina, so lo olam kitkatani umay b'yachol midrabanan. That midaraisa, he would have to say, midaraisa for the neder to be chal, he would have had to say, my eyes are also from sleeping for the next day. Midrabanan, it works even if he says, sleep is also to me for the next day. Okay. Question is, umiik b'yachol midrabanan, where did you ever hear? I mean, the pasuk b'yachol, the pasuk from the Torah, where what makes you say that the Mishnah is trying to refer it to an issur d'rabanan? The answer is ain. Yes, you do find the words bal yachol being applied to lo yachol being applied to an issur d'rabbanan. V'hotanya, and indeed we find a braisa that tells us about that. Dvarim amutarim, if you have something which is mutar lahalacha, v'acherim nagu b'an issur, but there's certain people who are knowing an issur in it, yatarashoy latirin mifneihem, you're not allowed to be matir that issur in their presence, meaning you're not allowed to act in their presence in a way that shows that you don't hold of that issur. Because the pasuk says you shouldn't. The pasuk says you shouldn't. You can't transgress your word. If you have something, if you have a chumrah that people in a certain the Gemara actually in Sochem, we had an interesting discussion about that. There's various minhagim in various places in the Jewish world. So you have something which in a certain place they have a minhag to ask or something. You should not, in their presence, say or act in a way that indicates that it's mutter. Because the Gemara gives several examples over there. The original example that it talks about over there in Pesachim is the minhag of not working Erev Pesach morning. Erev Pesach afternoon, it says there in the Mishnah, is nobody supposed to be working, because that's the time you bring the Korban Pesach. So it's a machlok, it's a post, and where does that apply nowadays? But anyway,
you another place, you
but know. You could, but in the morning is a matter of minhag, whether you can do the malach of the morning of Erev Pesach. Right, if you come from a place where they do malach on Erev Pesach, but you're in a place where they don't, then you're not allowed to do it in their presence. The Gemara gives a few other examples of it over there. And the reason is Shenema lo yachol dvarim, because the pasuk says you shouldn't transgress your word. So we see that. What? Well, so on the side of it, it means that you're going to cause that they are going to violate. They're going to end up violating their minhag, their local chumrah. They're going to end up violating because they're going to say, look, you know, if such and so and so is an adam gadol came over here and worked on the morning of Erev Pesach or what have you, then obviously it's not something so important, and we can transgress it ourselves. And that would be lo yachol dvarai. On the side of it here, it brings an idea from the Rashash. The word dvarai, besides meaning his word, can also mean a way of acting, a hanhaga. Meloshin yad ve'amim tachtenu, that the Eibishter will lead nations under our guidance. So we see that the word dvarai can also mean a minhag, a way that people are led, a way that people do things. And the Gemara there in Pesachim actually discusses that it's not so simple, this din, actually. The Gemara there discusses that it may only apply if people there are either kusim or amei aretz, because if you're matir one thing, then they may come to be matir other things as well that really are aser. That's a whole different issue. That's a question whether, when it comes to one versus 2 day yom tov, whether you go according to where you live or where you are right now. That's a different place. But that's true also. If you're an Eretz Yisrael person who comes to chutzar, then on the second day of yom tov, you can't do malacha b'parhesia. That's true. So that is part of it. But also, like I said, the Gemara discusses over there the difference between whether the people there are amei aretz or not. Tosfos discusses that we're not just talking about any stam some chumra that the people just thought of on their own. We're talking about that it has to be that an adam gadol, that some great person established it for them in order for them to be careful with. In Shulchan Aruch, it discusses these issues. There's an interesting thing. It brings over there an opinion of Rishonim, the Rashba, who says that actually if you have something that people know is mutter, but they're machmir in it anyway. Not only you have to respect it, but he says you can't even be matir neder, such a minhag. This little piece of Gemara over here, this little piece, what happens? I mean, a person has a minhag for many years, and then they decide, you know, I can't keep up with minhag anymore. You can be matir neder, but the Rashba says that if it started out as a minhag, where everybody knows, where you knew, or people, your community, whatever, knew that it is something which technically is mutter, but the local Rabbanim decided that you should be machmer on it anyway, then even you can't even be matir neder.
So then, I had the minhag to daven Ashkenaz. I came here, nobody, so...
That's a different matter. There is a discussion. So first of all, there's not the idea that those who daven Nusach Ashkenaz are saying that. It's not like they're saying that. What are we just talking about? We're talking about, again, something which technically is mutter, some issur which technically you're allowed to do, but the Rabbanim paskin that you should be machmer in it. Neskoyes of tefillah are not the same thing. Neskoyes of tefillah, different communities have their different neskoyes. It's not like they're saying that this really is mutter, but we're asking you to daven in any other nusach. That's not how it works. But in any case, also there is
the nusach is a minhag, and you cannot change your.
But that's the thing. You can't change your minhag. But wait, there is also, it discusses in the Chassam Sofer, I think, talks about this, and others. It's brought in a few places in letters from the Rebbe. That you're allowed to change from Nusach Ashkenaz to Nusach Sfarad, and you're allowed to change from either of those to Nusach Ari, but not vice versa without Ataras Nidarim.
Okay.
Not backwards. Because the idea is.
You
have to make Ataras Nidarim for that, right. Anyway, the point. But again, here we're talking about Nidre, here we're talking about Nidarim and Hagim of Isser, which is something else. So the Shulchan Aruch, it brings two deists on the subject. One is, I think, the opinion of the Rambam, that on the contrary, if you have something which people know is mutter, but they're noyig to after it anyway, then there's no problem. It's not even considered a neder. And then you have the Rashba, who says the other way around, that on the contrary, such a thing is considered such a strong neder that even Atardas Nadarim doesn't work for it. So in Shulchan Aruch, it sort of takes a middle ground on it. You do have to consider it a serious neder, but you can be mafu neder, like anything else. Anyway, the point is, returning to our Gemara over here, we see that lo yachol dvarei includes things that are banan, because this that we're talking about over here, where you have something that these people have a local minhag, like this thing of not working erev Pesach morning or whatever, it's certainly not deraita, it's only d'rabanan, and yet we're saying bal yachol dvarei applies there. So yes, you see, like Ravina is saying that bal yachol dvarei can apply to things that are banan. Okay, the Gemara says tnan. Okay, let's consider. Let's figure this out. Let's figure out these two different possibilities of understanding on what.
Bal yachol tfos also means rabbanan.
Yes. So actually, it comes out according to Ravina's explanation that yes, a neder can be chal midrabbanan even on intangible things, and that's how it's paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Indeed, that even though midraisa a neder would only be chal if he says, for example, that my eye is also to sleep. Midrabanan, it's chal as well. Also, if he says sleep is also to me, and he would need a Torah Kazarim for it. Okay, Tnan, the Gemara says, let's consider. We learn in a Mishnah later on in our Masechta. If someone says to his wife, "I'm making a neder that sha'at nenesli ad Pesach, that you're not going to be allowed to have hana from my possessions," or actually, to be exact, what he says is, "My possessions will be also hana for you until Pesach." If you go to your father's house any time between now and Sukkot. So he's standing, let's say, in Adar, a month before Pesach. He says, if between now and Sukkot, during the next 7 months, if any time during that time you go to your father's house, then you will be also to have any hana from my nechasim until Pesach. So,
and it's after Pesach.
That's the thing. So the Mishnah says, Ho chalifnei Pesach. So if indeed she goes to her father's house before Pesach, which before Pesach is, then in that case, before she took us as well, after the Bahana also out of Pesach, then of course the neder is foul and she can't have any anah until Pesach. But that implies Ho chalifnei Pesach asura, loy ho chaloy, which implies that only if she went before Pesach is she also, but if she didn't, then she's not also. We don't say, now again, according to Rav Yehuda's logic over here, we should say she shouldn't have hana from him any time between now and Pesach, because she might end up sometime during the next 6 months going to visit her father. And yet the Mishnah seems to be implying that it's not a problem. Amar Baba, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. It means ho cholifnei Pesach asur v'loika. If she goes before Pesach, then not only is she also to have hana, but there will actually be malchus. Who gets the malchus? We'll talk about that in a second. Wait. Loy hocha asur v'alma. If she didn't go any time during Pesach, any time before Pesach, she still is also during that time to have hana, because it might, no, not because it falls in both, because she might end up. Because from now until Pesach, if she has hana, she may end up sometime during the summer or between now and Sukkot or whatever, going and visiting her father's house. But asura ba'alma, it's only that she's also, because even in the case where we had over here, in the case of the sleep, Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that if you sleep on Sunday right away, you're chayav malchus. It's just you will be chayav malchus if you wind up sleeping on Monday, if the tanai was chal. So fine, the same thing. Where the Mishnah is, no, it's not that it's worse, it's the same thing. Rabbi Abba is explaining. The Mishnah is not saying that if she doesn't, that she is allowed to have that hana before Pesach and she just has to be careful afterwards. It means she shouldn't be having hana until Pesach, but when would she get malchus? Only if she actually went. Only if she actually went to her father's house.
Before Pesach?
Yeah, if she went before Pesach, then any hana she has from then until Pesach will involve malchus. Any hana after Pesach won't, because it's only the neder is only chal until Pesach. Which, by the way, okay, so when we say loike, who gets the malchus over here? So the Rambam says it means she gets the malchus, because he's the one who made the neder, he's the one who said that his nechasim are also to her, right. But after all, she's the one who violated it, she's the one who was over.
So why before you say that, when you make Rabu, can't my malchus?
What?
Said before, you make me... The husband is supposed to get mahut. That's what he said before, right?
We didn't say that before.
No,
we didn't say that before.
He made the neder.
So the Rambam learns that it means that she will get the malchus because the issur is on her. The Rambam says no. The Rambam says it's the husband will get the malchus.
Why?
Because it was his neder.
He made
the neder that my nechasim are also to you if such and such happens. The fact that he made the neder. The fact that he made the neder, according to the Rambam, actually, what it would have to be is if he gave her from his nechasim, then at that point he's over and would get malchus.
So
whereas according to the Rambam, it doesn't matter the fact that he made the neder to begin with. It doesn't matter that he's the one who gave her the nechasim. Since she ate them or did whatever with them, she will be the one who's chayav malchus.
If it's pre-given, huh?
He might be around the neighbor, fine, but she, according to the Ran, she'd be the one who gets the malchus.
Between the Ran and the Ran,
yeah, it's not the first and it's not the last.
And if we had applied that same rule, let's say the previous case about sleeping, if the husband had made a neder for her that she wouldn't sleep, and if she does,
that's different. He's not giving her anything. And you can't ask her somebody else to sleep. You can ask her. He can take his own possessions and ask her to her. He can't ask her eyes, which are her possession, from sleeping. So such a neder wouldn't be chal at all. Yeah. About this neighbor, yeah.
That's exactly what we were saying just before, just about saying this.
Well, he himself is the iver, sort of. I mean, if he himself sleeps on Sunday, and then he's over on his tanai on Monday, he himself is over on the neighbor, fine. But that's the he himself is the iver. I don't think the neighbor applies
no,
between.
No, I'm talking about when you're about the
what?
About how in front of other people if you're.
Oh. Yeah, but that's not really lifnei iver because it sort of. Okay, fine. I mean, it's lo yachol dvara. Yeah, you're going to cause them to be going around there. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Okay, fine.
It's a bit different.
No. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, in that case, you certainly wouldn't be chayav malchus for not keeping the minhag in their place. So I mean, it's considered a quasi neder. That's what we said. It's only also dirabanan. It's a neder deraita. Yeah. Okay. Sigmar says, fine. If that's what you think the Mishnah means, aim a sefer. Fine. Look at the next part of the Mishnah. If it's the other way, the Mishnah continues. Achar Pesach b'bal yachol dvarei. That after Pesach there is involved an issue of b'bal yachol dvarei. The idloy is tani lifnei Pesach. Now, if she never ended up having hanah before Pesach, miika b'bal yachol, then there's not going to be a b'bal yachol. The Mishnah itself seems to imply. The Mishnah itself, Elop Shittah, it's honey. Obviously, the Mishnah must be talking about that she did have Hanah before Pesach, Alma Mishani, which shows that she's allowed to, and we're saying that after Pesach, from now until Sukkot, there can be Bal Yachol involved. If at any time between now and Sukkot she winds up going to her father's house, then she will have been over on Bal Yachol retroactively because of that Hanah she had before Pesach. But the implication is she did have Hanah before Pesach. According to Rav Yehuda, she's not supposed to be having Hanah before Pesach anyway, just in case. So then there's nothing to talk about after Pesach. There's no possibility of Bal Yachol. And again, Utiyuk to Rav Yehuda. So we're back to, we have a contradiction to Rav Yehuda. So I think my answer is back, no. Ki katani di itani hareze b'Bal Yachol dvarei. Similar to how we explain our Mishnah. If she wound up having Hanah before Pesach, then there's a possibility of Bal Yachol dvarei over here. Now she's going to have to be careful to not go to her father's house until Sukkot. Yes, according to Rav Yehuda, she shouldn't have had that Hanah in the first place. Just like in the case at the beginning of the Gemara, he shouldn't have slept on Sunday. But if he slept on Sunday, or if she did have Hanah before Pesach, fine. It just means now you got to be on your toes for the next day or the next 6 months or whatever.
As opposed to what we were thinking,
the Mishnah was saying, L'chatchila, you're allowed to have that Hanah, and you just have to be on your toes afterward. No, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, L'chatchila, you shouldn't be having that Hanah, just in case. If you did, then okay, you got to be careful. Okay, that's it later.
Can a woman say something like this to a man?
If she has a bosom and her husband is going to be having an off from them, sure.
Yeah, but so there's no such thing on to the man.
So there is to a certain extent. I mean, yeah, we talked about in Kesubas, there's nixim malug and there's nixit son barzel, that usually all the property that a woman brings into the marriage is either nixit son barzel, which is it's under the husband's full control and he just has to reimburse her for it at the end, or it's nixim malug, where she owns the actual property and the husband is entitled to the payers. So okay, with both of those, you're right, she may not be able to make such a neder because there already is a shibud on her property to him. That's maybe not so simple. I mean, the truth is actually, I mean, even the cases we're talking about over here with her having Hanah from his property, Tosfos discusses on Amud Aleph that, I mean, again, he has a shibud, he's obligated to provide her with food and clothing. So how b'chol is he able to make a neder that would ask her to have Hanah from his nechassim and thereby break that shibud?
He's obligated
to give her food and clothing. That includes in the chassid.
But she's not obligated to take her food.
No, but that's not the point. The point is, how can he make a neder that would ask her to take his food and clothing when he has an obligation to provide it? And Tosfos gives two.
The same thing?
It is the same thing. What do you mean? He has to provide her food. He's saying that my nechassim are also to you. How can he make the nechassim also to her when some of his nechassim effectively belong to her? She has a shibur on them. She has a lien on them that every day she's supposed to be getting X amount of food and whatever for her daily needs. So Joseph gives two answers. One is that he's not mentioning Hana in general, that he's mentioning specifically Tashmish, which as we'll learn right before the Mishnah, that even though there is a shibud on that, there's more of a reason to say that such a thing can be chal. Or Tosfos gives another answer, very simple, that he's saying that my nechassim are going to be offered to you if you do such and such. So fine, if she doesn't do such and such, then they won't be offered to her. Yeah.
But not without condition.
Right.
Talking about Tashmish.
He has an obligation of it also. He's overrunning himself. Wait, we'll get to it right before the Mishnah. Let's go on. Okay. Let's try to bring another proof. Tanan, the Mishnah continues over there with the other case, the other way around. Here it's the other way around. He said that the time that it will be Osobanda will be from now, from Adar time until Sukkot, if you go to your father's house at any time until Pesach. So then, if she goes before Pesach, asur b'hana osa adachag, then she's asur b'hana until Sukkot, because that was the deal. And we'll tell us leilach after Pesach, but she's allowed to go to her father's house after Pesach, because at that point, the tznai expired, the tznai only goes till Pesach. So again, holcha asur aloi, holcha aloi. So again, the Mishnah seems to be implying that only if she went is she asur b'hana. If she didn't go, we don't say that she should be asur b'hana just in case. So again, you have a contradiction to Rabba. No, actually, again, you can explain the Mishnah the same way, that even if she doesn't go, she's still also provisionally. The difference is, if she actually went before Pesach, then she will, and if she has Hanah from any time from there until Sukkot, then she is not only also, but will actually get Malkus, or according to the Rambam, the husband will get Malkus. Again, if she didn't go, there's just an issue that she shouldn't have Hana, again, just to be on the safe side until Pesach is over. And she hasn't gone, at which point the Tanai expires and there's no more problem. But again, the Mishnah doesn't have to be saying necessarily that she's allowed to. But if she did. Okay. Mezvid Gemara says, I have another contradiction to Rabbi Yehuda. A Braisa says, Tikr zu alai hayoyim elach l'makam ploini l'machar. If somebody says this loaf of bread is also to me today if I go to such and such a place tomorrow, achal hareze b'val yelach. So if he eats the bread, then he has an issur not to go. Now at this point, the Gemara is assuming that he's allowed to eat the bread. Why? Because the Ran explains the reason why the Gemara is assuming that is because since the Braisa is going through all the different possibilities of what he should and shouldn't do, if he's not allowed to eat the bread, the Braisa should have mentioned also that he's not allowed to eat the bread. The fact that it doesn't mention it implies he can eat it, he just has to be careful not to go there tomorrow, which again contradicts Rabbi Yehuda. He says no.
Rabbi Yehuda doesn't forbid formally, but he says...
But he says it's author. He says it's author because you might be overrun by Yaakov. Just like we explained... Well, that's how Rabbi Abba just explained the various parts of the Mishnah later on about Pesach and Sukkot. That she's author to have Hana until Pesach, or she's author to go until the end of Pesach, because that'll trigger the issue. So yes, there is an actual issue. You just don't get Malchus for it. So over here, the Braisa should have spelled out that he's not allowed to eat the bread. If it doesn't say that, it implies he's allowed to eat it. The answer is, mi katani oichel or chal katani? No, because the Mishnah, in fact, does not use the word oichel, that he's allowed to eat it. In fact, the Mishnah uses the word ochal, which is in past tense, which is the Mishnah and the Braisa's usual way of saying, like, it's a done deal already. It's b'dievin. Dechi ochal, is on the contrary. It means he shouldn't. The Braisa is actually implying by saying that he shouldn't eat.
But
is that an Easter? He's not supposed to eat it because it'll trigger the nether. But if he ate it, it's an Easter because of the Baal Yaakov.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, it is
right.
An Easter.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what we're saying. By saying ochal, on the contrary, the Braisa is not saying gezunta hey eat it. It's saying really you shouldn't be eating it. But if you ate it, then yeah.
But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is really an Easter.
But then, okay, but that's what it means. In other words, that you're not supposed to be eating it to begin with. So whether you want to call it an issur or whether you just want to call it a tova, whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, you're also, according to the Yehuda, you're also to put yourself in a situation where you could end up with bal yachal. Fine. By saying ochal, the braita is implying that you. Yeah, no, we could explain that, but now we're saying that, okay, because the braita uses the word ochal, which means b'dieved, it means, well, clearly you shouldn't be eating it. Okay, you want to discuss whether it's an issur or not, fine, but that's not the issue.
It says, well, you shouldn't, but there's a b'dieved to say.
So if you ate it. If you ate it, then you have raised the b'dieved.
There's no such b'dieved.
According to the Yehuda, there is. If b'dieved, you slept on Sunday or ate the bread or whatever, then you are, in fact, I mean, even Rav Nachman would agree to that, then you're not allowed to go there the next day or sleep the next day or what have you. Even Rav Nachman would agree.
Yes.
Yeah. So then that's fine. So that's what the Braita is saying. If he ate the bread, then now that triggers the issue that he's not allowed to go there tomorrow. And therefore, halach ha'reza b'val yachol, ha'reza b'val yachol dvar. Okay. So the question is, okay, how about another part? The Braita says, halach ha'reza b'val yachol dvar. If he goes, then there's an issue of bal yachol dvar, right? But the problem is mahalach loy. But it doesn't say that he could go. According to the Yehuda, if he never ended up eating the bread, then there's no problem with him going there the next day. So why doesn't the Bakasha little Yehuda? So you still have a question on Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, once you haven't eaten the bread on the first day, why doesn't the braisa finish off? That therefore on the second day you're allowed to there can be a case the braisa should be saying here the braisa is telling you that there's a case where you're not allowed to go. The braisa should also be telling us there's a case where you are allowed to go if you didn't eat the bread on the first day. If you followed Rabbi Yehuda's advice. And or is issur, whatever you want to call it, and didn't eat the bread on one day, then you're allowed to go the next day. Amalach of Yehuda, who are din delisni mahalach. You're right. The braita could have told us that you're allowed to go. I did a katani reisha ochal, but because the reisha had to say ochal, deloy misni loy oichal, and could not have said oichal because again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you are not allowed to eat that bread. Lachatchila, tonet sefer halach. Therefore, it also for parallelism, it uses halach in the past tense, even though technically you could go once you didn't eat the bread on the one day. So you don't have any proof from this braita against him. And since the Ran finishes off, that since the Gemara is going through this whole discussion and going and trying to figure out according to Rav Yehuda, that itself indicates that the halacha is like him. Usually, when the Gemara does a whole shakla v'talia within somebody's opinion, it means that the halacha is like him. And therefore, the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, so therefore you shouldn't sleep on the first day. It's also to sleep on the first day or to eat the bread or what have you. Yeah. And that's indeed the psak halacha. Okay. Finishing off, the Mishnah had said, that he says to his wife that I won't have relations with you, then there's an issur of bal yachol dvar. So the question is, as we mentioned before, doesn't he have a shibud midaraisa? He has an obligation midaraisa for oina. He's not allowed to diminish her food, her clothes, or her oina. No, if he says I'm also, then it's a shvur. But if he says and they wouldn't even be chal because that's a shvur of atav l'chamitzvah. Here we're talking a neder. He's saying that tashmish is also. So okay, according to Ravina, tashmish is also to me would work midrabanan. According to Rav Yehuda's explanation, we would have to say that he says that my body is also in tashmish. But the question is though, the Gemara is assuming that how does that work in the first place? He has a shibud on it. And we learned in Ksubas the concept that even though there are things that can override a shibud, we say the shibud that the husband has to his wife is a very powerful one. We don't generally allow things to override that. So why should his neder override that? The answer is, ba'oimah hanas tashmish chalai. Fine, but we're not talking about he's saying that tashmish is also to me or my body is also in tashmish or whatever. He's saying the hana of your tashmish is also to me.
One second.
So then what you're saying is that he is not allowed to have anah from tashmish. The amar of kana, because we learned in Ksuvah, a similar concept. If the wife says tashmishi olecha, that if she says my tashmish is also to you, then we can compel her that you still have to do tashmish anyway. The shibudi the shabbos way, because she has a shibud to him, just like he has a shibud to her of sheir of ksusa vaynasa la yigra. She also has a shibud to him. On the other hand, Hanah Tashmisha Chalai Osir, on the other hand, if she says the Hanah of your Tashmish is also to me, yes, you would think it amounts to the same thing, but it's a key difference. You're not talking about the Tashmish itself, you're talking about the Hanah that comes with it. And then, fine, that's Chal, She'ein Machil L'Adam Davar Osir, because you can't force a person to eat or to enjoy something which is also to him. In this case, if the Hanah is also to her, in our case over here, in our Mishnah, the Hanah is also to him, then fine, the fact that that ends up overriding the Shibud, we consider that sort of a side effect.
Can you say, I mean, it seems to be impossible to have
Tashmish
without
Hanah. So the Ran, exactly. So the Ran points out the question. I mean, in general,
like Richard, you said 3 days, it's impossible.
Fine, but there's a difference, though. The difference is, one, the Tashmish is under Shibud, the Hanah of Tashmish is not. So the Ran asks the question, we know there's a rule throughout Shas called Mitzvah Slav Lahanis Nitnu, that in a few places, but Mitzvah Slav Lahanis Nitnu, that Mitzvahs are not given for Hanah. So therefore, we talked about, for example, we learned in Rosh Hashanah a case where a person makes a neder that he's not going to have hanah from somebody else, but he's allowed to hear that person's shofar blowing, because that's not considered a hanah. So over here, the tashmish is a mitzvah, she'er chusa b'nasa b'yigra. So why don't we say, he's saying that hanah of tashmish is aser, but so what? Mitzvah slav l'homis nitnu. The hanah you're getting out of the mitzvah shouldn't be considered a hanah. The Ran says there's a difference. When mitzvah slav l'honis nitnu means that the actual fulfillment of the mitzvah is not considered hanah. When you hear the shofar blowing, the fact that you were yotze the mitzvah of shofar, that's not considered a hanah. But
even if
there is the actual physical hanah that you can have from something, and he gives an example of a din that, for example, also in Rosh Hashanah over there, in connection with that din about shofar, that it talks about if a person makes a neder that he's not going to have hanah from a certain spring. Then when it comes, he has tovel, which is a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah for him to become tahor. He can tovel there in the winter, because then he's not getting any hanah from it because it's freezing cold. But he can't tovel there in the summer, because then, that's fine. The hanah that he's becoming tahor, that's not considered a hanah. But the hanah that he's enjoying the coolness of the water, that is a real hanah.
So similarly over here, if he says
hanah tashmisha chasura alai, the aspect of the hanah, the fact that he's fulfilling the mitzvah, fine, that wouldn't be considered a hanah. That we would allow him. But there is the actual physical hanah of tashmish that remains also to him. And because it remains also, then that's it. You can't feed a person something that's also to him. So then that hanah becomes also to him, and that's it.
How can the hanah that he has necessarily prevail over the shibud?
Because that's the thing. Because the side effect, basically. You're saying he's also in that hanah, and because that hanah cannot be separated from the actual act, okay, it ends up overriding the shibud. It can't be helped, really. The same way as we're going to talk about tomorrow, that when he makes a neder, let's say that sukkahs are also to me. Now he's not allowed to sit in sukkah on sukkahs, and if he does, he's over on Bar Yachol, because it's a side effect, basically. The fact that he said that sukkahs are also to me is not directly impinging on the mitzvah. A side effect of it ends up being that he's also in the mitzvah. Similarly over here, the neder is a neder, the hanah is also to him. The side effect of it is that now he's not even able to be mekayim the mitzvah of Ona. He's not able to be mekayim as shibud to his wife. We're saying that the hanah is something that you're able to ask of yourself in. The hanah, the shibud is not on the hanah. The shibud is on the actual act. Because that act necessarily involves hanah, then if you ask doing the hanah to yourself, it comes out that you ask doing the actual act. But you can't ask the actual act itself because of the shibud, but you can ask there a side effect of it, and therefore it winds up that you're also in the actual thing itself. That's how it works. We'll talk about it more tomorrow in connection with Menodio Levatel of Amitra. Okay? That's how it is. We continue tomorrow, Baruch Hashem.